Good morning. You know, tomorrow we have Memorial Day. For us, you know, what is it? It's like a cookout or something, you know, but it's a thought of remembering those that died, like, in service. You know, I personally don't, I mean, I remember being a teenager and all the like, the young men, one, like, you know, a few years above me went off to the Vietnam War, and some of them didn't come back. And those that did, you know, they came back a little crazy. That's life, right? It's a memorial. I mean, this is the thought today, and we're going to look at it in the Bible, of what it is to die in service. Does anyone have someone in their family that did die in service? It's, you know, yeah, not so much, thank God, right? I know my father, I mean, he lost his mind in the service, but he physically lived. I mean, otherwise I wouldn't be here. So, and of course, I inherited some of that insanity, you know, but I'm here, so that's just part of life. But, you know, let's, and we're going to look at this in the Bible, because, and we're going to look at our own lives, because you're a memorial, and we're going to show you this biblically, and this is really important for us to think this way, because it's the reality of life. And let's think of this. If someone died in service, they're dishonored, right? Could have been a good soldier. Could have been a bad soldier. Could have been going AWOL in the process. You know what? None of that mattered, because they died in service, right? You know what I mean? And we would say, this man gave his life for our country. And, you know, how many are vets here? Just, I know Pastor Danny and Tina are vets. Anyone else a vet? You know, yeah. Thank God many of us didn't have to serve, because we've had many years of peace, volunteer, not the draft. And just like to honor this thought process, and, let's, you know, let's meditate in our lives, you know, what it means to be a memorial, for Jesus Christ. And like, all of us are going to probably die in the faith unless Christ returns. If you die in the faith, are you a memorial? Yes. This is what this is about. Because you know what? Whether I'm a good soldier, right, or a bad soldier, I'm a believer. I'm in service, ain't I? Right? I mean, the uniform is on. We are believers. Thank God. We will be received to Jesus Christ with exceedingly great glory. Amen. In Jude 24. Okay, let's stand and pray, and we'll show this in the Bible, you know, about, you know, us thinking of those that have passed. Father, we're thankful, and I mean, for those that would, you know, serve. I remember, you know, just hearing locally, those in Tennessee, you know, during the recent wars that would pass in service, young men, we even some going to school with our own children, and it's just an honor to say that they gave their lives for something they believed, and it costed them their lives. And so, Lord, we, you know, thinking of families who have this memory of someone in their family whose life was given for the country, and they ask that you comfort them, you know, like today, and also like honor be given, you know, to them from on high, Lord, that you would just touch them. And then like in our hearts and our minds, thanking for those that gave their lives, that we are here today and we are free to preach the gospel, and we are free to go to church, and we are free, to live our lives, because of those that would give themselves and pass in service. And then our lives, here we are, Lord, and, you know, we also are memorials, and it's not for, you know, condemnation, but it's just for reality that, like, our lives are in a service to you, whether I'm AWOL, you know, or if I'm on a front line, or if I'm a prayer warrior, or in whatever way, we are in the uniform, and our lives too. Like what we would say, it could be a sweet smelling scent to our Saviors as we're living. And then as we see biblically all these people who died in the faith, and that we would learn from their lives for our own lives, Father. So we thank you for this time in the precious name of Christ. Amen. Alrighty. Our content is going to be in Hebrews chapter 11. We can start there and read the first verse, and then we're just going to, jump around a little bit. And the ideal is that I could, you know, see my life like as the Lord sees it. First off, no condemnation. Just like I said, this is the beautiful thing of being a believer and my life being memorial, as we said it just in the introduction, that he does. And let's read it together. We probably quote it quite often in Jude 24. That's chapter 1, by the way. Now unto him that unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence, the presence of his glory, with exceedingly great joy. To the only wise God. See, a wise God, you know what he does? He tells you about how it's going to end. That's what a wise God does. Like, hey, you, if you really take it in the way it's going to end, you're going to live with me forever. I'm going to be happy you're there. And I'm happy with you now because you put your trust in Jesus Christ, right? That's a wise God. And he says, and he receives us to himself faultless. Right now, you know, like, you ever just say it's my fault? Maybe you never say it's my fault. Yeah, no, nothing's my fault. But, you know, we take fault, but God's going to say, like, no, I don't charge anything to you. You were in my service, and you died in my service. You're a memorial. That's our lives. Just like we think of that, and we think properly. When we think of someone died in service, we go, they gave their lives for it. Amen? Period. No question. And then here we are in life, and you know what? You're giving your life for it. I'm giving my life for it. Maybe I'm not doing so good right now, or maybe I'm at my pinnacle right now. Maybe I've not done too good in the past, but you know what? I'm in the service. And you know who cares? My God cares. And you know what? All of eternity. Can you imagine all of eternity? The memorial of eternity is based upon your service in this life after you pass. Wow. That's a memorial, right? And this is our lives, you know, before the Lord. So he is the only wise God. Let be our, the only wise God, our Savior. Verse 25. Be glory and majesty and dominion. Both now. Like right now. Like, because this is how it's gonna be. Because of the memorial of a life. He says, right now and forever. Amen? Now, here in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 1. The privilege we have being believers, and we would say those that gave their lives in service have entered into a rest. We have a privilege that we can enter into the rest that we're going to enter into so that we can serve acceptably. Amen. We enter into a rest because of what Jesus Christ has done. And may I say, when someone gives their life in service, they're not thinking of themselves. They deem something more important than their own lives. They gave their lives for our country. We as believers in our daily thought have to deem life in Christ more important than our own lives. It's the only way we succeed. Have you noticed? You can't make yourself happy yet. Have you noticed that? You're trying really hard. Get your little pleasures. They wear out. I mean, we're just people. We're not like condemning. We're saying this is just the nature of man. You know, we always go back to like, you ever, like, I get people, you know, and they're going through difficult times. All of a sudden they'll start saying, I got to take care of number one. You know, number one being them. And the only problem is they're not number one, maybe in their own mind, but they're not number one. Who's number one? Our Savior's number one. So like if we keep this focus right of where we are and who we're serving, our memorial will be great because we are wearing the, and your memorial will be great. But the purpose today is to stir us up in it like that. Yes, I belong to the Lord. And just like we're going to see these men of like varying degrees of faith die in service, we're going to die in service too, unless the Lord returns. You know, everybody's got him coming back tomorrow. A little joke. So I had this friend, this is in the 70s, so obviously it didn't happen. The Lord didn't return. And like, we were going to church together and they were having a hard time and they were renting a mobile home from me and I'm working down there and they're barely making ends meet. And, you know, I'm in their house one day and they got this vacuum cleaner and it was this, I forget what you called them, like electrolyte or rainbows or something, but it was like, this is in the '70s. It was an $800 vacuum cleaner. You know, somebody was a good salesman and I go in there and I said, what are you doing with what I, you know, I mean, I can't even comprehend this. You're renting a mobile home for me. You got a kid. Barely making it. I'm not saying this to them. And you got this vacuum cleaner. And you know what he says? The Lord's going to return soon. We won't have to pay for it. And I went, what? Do people think this way? You know, like our thoughts can go, you know, I'm not going to, well, the Lord will return. He didn't return. I'm sure they had to pay for that vacuum cleaner. Well, so watch how you think about the Lord returning. Like, what is our proper way of thinking? I am living my life that if he returned today, I'm ready to be in his presence. And then I'm planning my life like maybe it is afar off. Can I do both? I can do both. Then I'm living right. And I'm not thinking of myself. Thinking of myself brings me always to misery. Do I take care of? Of course I do. You know, we shared somewhere, well, maybe Wednesday night, about how we do take care of ourselves. Here in Hebrews 4 then, in verse 1. Let us fear, lest being less a promise of entering into his rest. Because we're going to look at these great men who served God based on a promise. Some of them never seen it. And they entered into a rest. And it says, we also can enter into a rest. Let us fear lest a promise being left us to entering to his rest, any of you would seem to come short. You don't come short of it because you belong to the Lord and at the end you're there. Amen? And because you'll be there, you can receive it now. This is a beautiful principle with the believer priest and finished work. Because I'm going to be with the Lord with exceedingly great joy, right? You know, like as we think of the men and women that died in service, boy, they were given their lives for a cause. They did give their lives for a cause. And it was a great cause. And there wasn't a regret. They just did it. And here we are. And we can do it. And we get the privilege of entering into a rest before it's even completed, because Jesus Christ finished the work, as we're going to see, before the foundations of the world. Your life's got great purpose. You have a privilege of living unto a living Savior. Your life is a memorial. We recently had one of our pastors, Pastor Carl Silvis, went home to be with the Lord. Young man. I mean, I think he was my junior, you know. And I remember him in Bible college, and I visited India, you know, 22 times, was at his ministry, so probably spent at least probably a year of my life over there. And, you know, and just served God and pioneered a church and went when he was young. Didn't even graduate Bible college. Like his third year, they needed someone to take care of the work. Ended up 70 or more churches in India. Pretty amazing, huh? Young man. And then physical health diminished for the last 10 years. And, boy, that's a battle, you know. And he started to, like, write books. I think we actually taught one of his classes, the Foundations. Was that his writing? And God used him. But you would have looked at that and said, man, you have problems. That man's a memorial. Why? He served the Lord all the way. He couldn't even move. I guess his wife was writing for him because he couldn't even move his hand. And yet, you think of that life. You die in the Lord. It's just a great memorial. Amen? And this is our lives. We will. And you know what? We're building a memorial unto the Lord. And the excellency and the power is not of us, you know, in 2 Corinthians 4. You know, it's not of us, but it's of the Lord. But we have the privilege to respond to the Lord. Look at the way he says that in 2 Corinthians 4, you know. Verse 5. For we don't preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus and ourselves your ministers for Christ's sake. In other words, like, get past that your life has to be perfect for you to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Because when we read these examples of men, none of their lives were perfect, but they were great examples for the Savior. Amen? Because we're not, thank God, I wouldn't want to preach myself. Would anybody? You know, somebody with a really big ego might, but you know, most of us we're at least that humble to know we come, so we don't, but we're in service, right? We're in the service, so we're not like preaching ourselves, but we're preaching our Savior, saying, you know what, my God is able. Well, your life don't show, my life may not show, but let me tell you, he is there for me, and he is able, and he does what he needs to do. We don't preach ourselves, we preach Jesus Christ. And then the beautiful part that we have the privilege, and ourselves, we are servants for his sake. Christ did it, and you know what? It's good enough for me, I will serve him, just like the men and women gave their lives for countries. You know, I don't know whether Memorial Day is worldwide, I would think it would be, because every country has been to war, and every country has people that died in war, so you know, we have, you know, everyone has this thought. And we have the privilege that we are servants for Christ's sake. You know, like I've got on the suit and you can say, you represent, you know, United States of America. Well, I'm not the best representation, but I'm wearing the suit. And that's enough. You see, for their sake, I will serve. I'm not, it's not me. It's the uniform I'm wearing. I am putting on Jesus Christ. It is the uniform that I wear. We wear. Well, I'm not doing, it's all right. God's doing a work in every one of us, isn't he? Why? Because our lives will be an eternal memorial. I mean, can you imagine for all eternity? It is such a frightening thought. That's why he says, lest we fear. It's such a frightening thought that eternity is based upon our time on this earth. It's like, really? Can't it be based upon like something I do in eternity? Yeah, right now. Like right now, like and the beautiful thing, thank God that our service to the Lord, and think of this now, guys, as we serve God together in 1 Peter, you know, 1 Peter chapter 1, right, where he talks about, like, the inheritance, this memorial. He says in verse 3, 1 Peter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope by resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The foundation is he was raised from the dead, therefore we die no more, we live into all eternity. Now, to an inheritance, incorruptible. This is so beautiful. Anything I ever do in response to the Savior of the universe, to the Spirit of the living God, is an incorruptible memorial. Look what he says, that undefiled, that never fades away. Can you imagine my decisions in the Lord? Never fade away. Sometimes we make good godly decisions and nobody notices. You know what I mean? No one noticed. You know who noticed? God notices. God notices when I pray. God notices when I surrender. God notices when I love. God notices. He's keeping a record because it's eternity. It's the memorial. Whether it's seen in the earth or not, it's seen in heaven. And sometimes we're doing things to be seen of on earth, and they are not the important things. The important things is how it's seen by the creator of the universe. Right? Who am I serving? Amen? In 2 Corinthians, we are your servants for Christ's sake. We've put on the uniform. We've put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, we become faithful servants to the Lord. And in that service, we serve one another. In that service, we love one another. We don't love because we'll get love back. We don't do things for the earthly response. Maybe we do, but actually, we're better if we can do it for the heavenly response. And that's never a response in the energy of the flesh, but it's a response by the Spirit of living God. We do the things we do because God has spoke to us. That is an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled. It fades not away, and there's a reservation in heaven for you. Isn't that cool? I'm going to receive you to myself, and there's a reservation just for you. And this verse blesses me so much because it's like the things that we do in the Lord are eternal. It's not like we think of the balance scale. How much good did you do versus how much bad you did? You want to do more good than bad. Sounds really nice. Thank God. Thank God that like anything we do by the Spirit of God has an eternal memorial and it fades not away in its reserve. Can you imagine a decision, a prayer, a soul you spoke to any time in your life has an eternal reward? I'm thinking like, thank you, God, because sometimes I'm really doing bad. Sometimes we're doing good, and sometimes but that bad is just nothingness, but that good is eternal. I think I want to go for it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, wait a minute, Lord. I got to remember the Lord in the mix, because that's where eternity, like it lies, and it has that reservation. And if we would really receive it, look what he says, who are kept by the power of God, just like Jude 24, he is the one that's able, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Like, it's in there, we're doing it. Oh, I forget it. I love it that we can do so much we don't even remember, but God remembers. I love it, like, someone comes back to me and tells me I did something, like, really? I never knew I did that good. No, like, thank God that's in us to respond to the Spirit of God. And like, in, you know what? You'd be amazed just in passing people you see in your jobs, in your services. And I'm sure many of you do. You have the privilege to pray for them. You have a word and season for somebody you'll never see again. Like, where's the value there? It's in heaven reserved for you. That's where it is. Remember when they were going back from, they were taking that, there was a 5-day walk from, Jerusalem back to Nazareth, and they got maybe a day, 2 days into it, and Jesus wasn't there. Then it's 2 days back and two more. He really put them out. And they go, what are you doing? He says, I'm about my Father's business. That's all. Hey, you're messing up the schedule. You're messing up the plan. You're messing up my life. What are you doing? What an answer, huh? Couldn't, wouldn't that be a good, a lot of other answers? Too many other answers, but boy, that's the answer. What are you doing? I'm just about my Father's business. It's a priority. I'm about the service of another. And he says, which is kept by the power of God, ready to be, wherein, and let's look at this part in verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, if though for a season, if it need be, you are heavy through manifold temptations. He's saying, like, if it needs to be like this, if you really grab this thought, it will take you through very, very difficult times. What am I grabbing in difficult times? Do I sublimate? Do I revert back? I think I have to draw to the Lord closer is my best option. Amen. What am I going to do? I'm going to draw closer to the Lord. Why? That's my best option. It's actually the only option that has eternal value. But even for me, living life on this earth, that is my best option. And that the trial of my faith to God, right? More precious than gold that perishes. That's what I'm talking about. There's a memorial. There's a service. There we are before Jesus Christ. Now, back in Hebrews, I'm not even going to get to this list of, I will get to this list of people. Okay, back in Hebrews 4, at least to some of them, because, I mean, it, you know, of course anyone can read it in Hebrews 11, but we were going to look at just a few. Back in Hebrews 4, okay. So the promise of us, verse 1, entering into the rest, lest I would seem to come, I won't come short of it, but I might like seem to. For the gospel was preached as well unto them, but the word preached to them was not mixed with faith, and when they heard it. For we which do believe, right, we do enter into a rest. This is the beauty. Like, I mean, when we think of a memorial, they died in service and they entered into a rest. We're in service and we're still laboring. And at the same time, because of what Christ did, we enter into the rest now. This is a beautiful picture for the believer. We operate not from like a sense of like, I've got to get it done, but we operate from it's already done and I can respond to a work because I know the end. See, men that died in service, they never knew at that time if the war was won or not. We do. There's a big difference right there. We know the end. We know we're in eternity forever with Jesus Christ. We know the battle's already run. But yet, we're in a battle that's won, and we're fighting the battle. Look at what he says to Timothy, because he gives him some instructions. In, 2 Timothy, you know, chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, where he is instructing him like a soldier. And I love it. And what kind of soldier is Timothy? A soldier like we are in the faith, right? So here is an instruction, you know, to Timothy. And it's just like an instruction that would be given just to like that. Okay. Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 1. Thou for my son be strong that is in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong in grace. What does that mean? Know he holds it all in his hand. Know that he's for you. Know that it's reserved for you in heaven. Know that it will not fade away, but it's always to you. Know that he's going to receive you to yourself with exceedingly great joy. Know it, my son, be strong and great, because the work is finished and you can live in a finished work. And these things which you hear of me and witness, you commit them to other faithful men who are able to teach others. In other words, what is my testimony? Let your moderation be known unto all men. What? The Lord is at hand. It's Philippians 4:4. Right? That's what he's saying. You got it. And remember, it's not myself, but it's the Lord, and he's at hand. Therefore, again, Because of these revelations, you can endure hardness as what? A good soldier of Jesus Christ. I can take it. Certainly not because I'm very smart. Certainly not because I'm a good guy. But you know why? Because I'm in Jesus Christ and I have a Savior that cares for me. And I'm not looking at me, but I'm looking at Him so I can endure hardness. You know what? There's a lot of hardness in life, ain't there, guys? Whether you're young or old. It changes maybe the kind of hardness, but it's there. And He says, you know what? You can take it because you're good soldiers. You've learned to whom you are serving. You proudly hold the flag. You know, as we think of the Memorial Day, you know, I put a new flag up on our boat, like the grace of God that I could have that luxury. And it's like my greatest joy. Like, boy, we are so blessed. You know, like in our country, you know, hey, in case you don't know it, you're very blessed in America. In case you don't know it, and ask anyone that lives anywhere else. And they're going to tell you the same thing. It's just the way it is. Thank God, right? And then, like even greater, I'm a believer, and Christ has paid a price. Now there's a banner, and I get to carry that all my life. And it's not, and I can speak it from the dust. I can speak it in a trial. I can speak it because you know what? Our God is faithful. Whether I see the end of the promise or not, I know that my God is faithful. He says in verse 4 of 2 Timothy 2, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Don't get tangled up in it, guys. It's just this life. And if you're a good soldier, you don't get entangled with it. But, what? But you please the one that chose you to be a soldier. Who am I pleasing? The one. Just the one. Who? The one. Who is the one? It is Jesus Christ, the one that has chosen me. The one that has placed me in a place. I have a privilege that in my life, I can please God. Am I batting 1,000? You have to be a baseball fan. Has anyone ever batted 1,000? No. Actually, if someone bats in the 400s, I think that's good, right? For those of you that are baseball fans. Someone bats in the 300s, you would say, right? So don't condemn yourself. You're not batting 1,000. If you're batting 300, that's only 30%, but I know that's a penalty. I'm only 30. Well, that's good. You know, because you know that story of Babe Ruth, right? Hit the most home runs. Does he still hold the record? Now, who took the record? Someone else took it? I mean, like, this is how much I know. A few times. And what was the other side of Babe Ruth? He hit the most run, but he had the most strikeouts. You know, but you don't remember the strikeouts. You remember the home runs, right? He was a great home run hitter. Yep. And he struck out more than anybody. Like, huh, I could do that. I mean, strike out more than anybody. And once in a while, if you don't swing the bat, you can't hit a home run. Right? But if you don't swing the bat, you can strike out. So at least swing the bat. At least swing at it. At least you got a chance of hitting it. If you like never swing it, that ball come by. Strike, strike, strike. Unless it's really a bad pitcher, you might get walked once in a while. But you know, but if you swing it, you got a chance of hitting a home run. What? Serving the one. That memorial of the one that's keeping account of our lives on this earth. And it's not a count of good and evil. It's an account of good and eternal and nothing. You got it? Because the other side is sin, and sin was paid for. Thank God this is the other part. Jesus Christ paid for it. So we're just, you might as well just swing all you can, because you can only hit home runs. And if you strike out, doesn't go against you. Thank you, Lord. Amen? There's a more, I'm just swinging the bat. I miss it a lot, but once in a while, and I'm a lousy baseball player, but, okay, back in Hebrews 4, let's, you know, that like, so that we have the privilege that we know the end, you know. What would you think, man? You're going to the baseball game And you know at the end, you're going to win. You know. You'd be swinging like a wild man. You're just like, man, I'm just going to go for it because you know what? I know I'm going to win in the end. Believer, don't you know you're going to win for the end? The memorial is this. I'm going to receive you to myself with exceedingly great joy. Amen? You know the end. Swing, like, what do I mean? Like, I mean, serve the one who has called you. Just go for it. Oh, I might offend somebody. Yeah, but you might win someone too. Amen? If you never say nothing, why never offend anybody? And you never win anybody. You know what I mean? Swing it. Like, do things. Trust God. Take steps of faith. Hear the voice of God and act on it and do, give it, like we're going to sing in Hebrews, some substance to, like, you know, what you're hearing. So finishing up here, this part in Hebrews 4 again. So we that believe, we do enter into rest. As he said, I swore in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. He's talking about those that did not. Although the works were finished, when? From the foundations of the world, he completed it. And for us, he says in verse 9, there remains a rest for the people of God. Amen? You got it? Now, memorial for martyrs in the faith, Hebrews 11. You know. And because you know what? You are one of these. You know why? You know why you're one? Okay, let's look at it and we'll show you why you're one, then we'll read them. It's in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. As he's going to lay a foundation for us as the saints of God, whom we belong to, and the service that we're going to give. And Christ himself makes a comparison here between us and John the Baptist. Let's see. We can read verse 10. Matthew 11:10. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. He's speaking of John the Baptist, right? And he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, among them which are born, that would be you and me, you know, those that are born. Isn't that nice? You like that one? You know, among them that are born, that's all inclusive, see? Everybody was born. Of women, well, you had to be born of woman. Everyone is born of a woman too, still to this day. I mean, some perverted thing probably happened somewhere, but it wasn't real. Now, there, you know what, life is so stupid. People are, you know, they come up with crazy stuff, you know, and feel like they did something. We genetically changed something. Whip-de-doo, you couldn't do it without God's creation to begin with, idiot. All right, so I say unto you, among them which are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. You got it? Man, greatest prophet ever, John the Baptist. Now look what he says about us. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. What are you saying, Lord? He's saying, your life's a memorial to me. What I'm saying. Here's John the Baptist. And look at John the Baptist, you know, martyr of the faith. It's in Matthew 14. Alrighty. This is a quick story of, we're going to look at a few martyrs. Here's John the Baptist. He was a martyr. He made a stand and lost his head, didn't he? You know, and he's saying, and like we're going to read this stand, and most of us are just passed right by it, and God's saying, you're greater than him. Why? Because we get the Spirit of God in us. We get to be led by the Spirit of God. We get to do things that every moment of our lives, we have the ability that what we do is eternal reserve for us in heaven. It makes us very great. Don't count us short. Your prayers are important to God. Amen? So pray. not pray for your own lust. I mean, you know, if you have to, and you don't get those anyway, and that's, but, you know, pray with the Spirit of God would have to pray. Right? Everything, prayer, supplication. How's the prayer go? This is Philippians 4:6. The prayer would go, your will, Lord. And, I mean, yeah, I have my want, but your will is greater than my want. I just hope that my will lines up with your will. Not your will lining up with my will, but my will lines up with your will. Steer me. I know you've got the best. Even for me, even if it's like for my flesh, it's not what I want. You hold it in your hand, and that's the way I'm going to pray. You got it? I'm going to pray your will, Lord. Not happenstancely, but with power, diligently lifting things up before Jesus Christ. Now, okay, this is Matthew 4. At the time of Herod, heard the fame of Jesus, he said unto his servant, this is John. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hands on John, bound him, put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto them, it is not lawful for him to have her. Right? He wouldn't condone a relationship outside of marriage. That's all. You know? Or an incestual relationship. John just wouldn't condone. That's all he's doing. My Lord, we're seeing that all the time. And John, that's why he's put in prison. Just for that. They took a little offense. Or you trying to say I can't do what I want to do? Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. The Lord says, right? And he gets put in prison for this. And when he would have put him to death, he feared, because people counted as a prophet. I got him, I put him in jail, and I don't want to kill him. And two, also he thought he might get a bribe from him. I don't know if it says it in this account, but another one. And, you know, so he just kept him around in jail. But when it was Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodian danced before them, and it pleased Herod. It must have been some dance. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatever she would ask. I don't know what in the world that was. Maybe he was really drunk. I'm not sure. We don't know the details. Your imagination can go wild. Go for it. Now, but nothing, only PG. No. Only G, don't even go PG. Get out of there. Clean their minds up. Well, there was a dance, and her was pleased so much, she being instructed of her mother. My Lord, can you imagine that? I mean, I'm going to curse the girls dancing the dance. Maybe it was an all innocent dance. Who knows? Because mama's the real bad guy here. But maybe she was part of it. We don't know. Probably we could read some isagogues. That's an isagogic reading that you might even like. That's probably better than a good trash novel right there. You read the history of this. I think we'll read this and that. What do you think? That'd be a fun one to find out the truth. We have this book we're studying together, The Life and Times of Jesus Messiah. It goes into like the isagogus of behind this stuff. Kind of fun, you know, when you realize the motives and, you know. Okay, well, that's all a side note. She being before him instructed her mother and said, give me the head of John the Baptist and a charger. Like, can you go, what do I do, mom? Anything I want. Like gold, fame, for a mom, I can be set for life because of this dance. No, get John the Baptist's head. What? In a charger? Like we want to see it? Like you're going to pull it out like a Medusa or something? But that's what, you know, that's what happened. And, of course, the king was sorry. But for that sake, he did it. What was John the Baptist? He was a martyr. What did he do? He was in Christ. He was following the Lord. What did he say in John 3:31? He must increase. I must decrease. Why? I had a conviction from God. And it was important. So important it costed his life. Can I be a person of such conviction as a memorial for me? Right? You know, let's respond to Jesus Christ in these calls. Let's let things be like they are. Let's not let's not turn away. I mean, here's our example of a memorial for a man that died in service, and he made a stance. Look at this one. Let's go to Hebrews 11, and we have still just a few minutes. I don't know. We're preaching forever today, guys. I hope it's going fast for you. You know, we'll tell another juicy story that keep you interested. Here you go. I mean, all these stories are juicy if you spend a little time in them. But let's see. Okay, Hebrews 11. Now, faith is a substance. What's the substance? It goes into all eternity. You got it? The things I'm doing for the Lord, they go into... Now, that's meat. I don't see it, right? But look what he says. It's the substance of things hoped for. That means an assurance if they're going to come. Just like received unto him with exceedingly great glory, because he is able. He's going to do it. And so my faith has a substance, like I got eternal purpose in my decision making, in my dealing with people. And I, you know what? I'm not entangled with the world. You know what entangling with the world does? It goes entirely against faith. Because all of a sudden you got to think logically. You got to think about taking care of yourself. You got to think about what if this happened, what if that happened. Faith shuns all that and says, you know what? I got a substance, and it's hoped for by Jesus Christ. He says it has a substance of things hoped for it, and evidence of things not seen. Like, wait a minute, you ain't seeing nothing. Oh, yes, I am. I know my Savior, and I know his ability, and I know his voice, and I know how to respond to it, and I know he is faithful to keep that which I commit to him, is the way Paul took. That's what I know. And you know what? It's very, very sure, so I can lay things at the feet of Jesus Christ, and then I can also let them go. You know what I mean? In the earthly sense, it's faith. For by it the elders received a good report. Through faith, we understand how the world was formed, and then by faith, Abel. My Lord, Abel. You remember Abel? You know, it doesn't say a lot about Abel, except that he was martyred for his faith, right? You can almost say Abel was the first martyr. Actually, Jesus Christ was the first martyr, but in our historical data, he's the first martyr. Why? What did Abel do? What did he do? He gave a sacrifice to the Lord that was acceptable to him. That's what he did. He created a memorial, and guess what? It's living right now. Why? Because it goes for all eternity. He says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And you might say, yeah, and it got him killed. Yes, it did. Like, so what? No. I have to preserve my life. I'll sacrifice my conviction of what the Lord wants. Don't be entangled with the world. You know, a lot of times, and this is almost the battle that we have. Like, if I go with the Lord, it's going to cost me my life. Well, you have no life outside the Lord anyway. Don't you know that yet? You just have a fragrance of an ideal, of an imagination that the devil's projecting to you of a life. But life is in Jesus Christ. Remember Colossians 3, right? For you are dead and your life is hid in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, will be revealed, you will be like him. Amen? Where am I going? I'm going after Jesus Christ. Let's look at it there in Genesis 3, right? Abel, maybe. And then we'll just get, you know, through a couple of them, and then, you know, we'll find another. We'll get one more juicy one for you there so we can keep our good stories from the Bible. Men dying in faith in ways we would never, you know, never want to die, right? Alrighty, let's see. Where is that? Is that in Genesis 4, right? Adam and his wife, she conceived, Cain, and I have gotten a man from the Lord, and again she bore one called Abel. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, Cain brought the fruit of the ground unto the Lord for an offering. And Abel also brought the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel's offering, but unto Cain's he had no respect. Well, that's not fair, Jesus. I says, this is today. Well, that's not fair. Oh, shut up. God's God, and what he says is the way it is, and your meager attempt to try to please God in the energy of your flesh is not enough, and it never will be. So just forget it, will you? That what God doesn't have to be fair. He created it. He makes the rules. We follow it. Easy enough, right? Yeah, that's what Cain's going to whip out, man. Well, that's not fair. My brother is keeper, that jealous dog. You know where the jealousy came from? Because he decided he'd give God what he wanted to give God instead of what God wanted him to give him. That's all. And me too. Right? How many times am I giving God what, you know, does anyone pay penance? You know, you're doing this for the Lord because you did that. That's Cain thinking. Yeah, let me give you a fruit basket there, Lord. I mean, we love fruit, but it was not an acceptable sacrifice here, you know. And, you know, Cain did his offering, no respect, and his countenance fell. The Lord said, Cain, what's the matter there, son? What's wrong with you? Why, you sad boy. If you did well, you know, I would accept it. Right? You knew what I wanted. All you had to do was do it, you know, right? And if you don't do it, guess what's waiting at the door? Sin. You know, you trying to fulfill yourself outside of me. That's what sin is. It's waiting at the door. Why? Because I don't want to give God what he wants. I want to give him what I want to give him. Please don't do it. You know what he said? That the blood of Abel cries out. Right? Back in Hebrews 11. That blood is still crying out like, you know, today. Can you imagine? Because of this, he gave God what he wanted and it pleased God. And there's the memorial for Cain for all eternity. But Abel killed him. Yeah. But what do we think of? Cain, Abel pleased God is what he did. What about me? You know, remember Queen Esther, is that right? Her great statement, you know, after a little encouragement from Mordecai, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to go before the Lord. That's our life's guide. Let your life perish, go before the Lord. Pray, don't condemn yourself. God's for you, he's not against you. And a memorial is being built. And let it be built unto the Lord. Amen? All right. Do we have another song, guys? So let's just meditate on these things as we close in worship and then just thanking God that our lives are memorial. And then if you have time, read Hebrews 11 and see God's moving, with these people. Amen?